was thinking about that song. Our family, but especially Ashton, we like that old show, Little House on the Prairie. But there's a couple things that I've noticed about it. Don't ever take any of your doctrine from Reverend Alden. He's the world's worst preacher. I mean, he has some of the most liberal philosophy when it comes to preaching. It's terrible. It's almost as bad as the Grandpa and the Waltons. But anyhow, I was thinking, they only know two songs on there, Bringing in the Sheaves and Onward Christian Soldiers. Those are the only two songs that you'll ever hear, that you'll ever hear them sing. Now see, you showed up again right after the song service, knowing we needed a piano player. Actually, when she was here last week, she was like, I'm waiting until about a quarter after when all that music's done. Get in there.
That was her car sitting across from the glass doors. Did you see that?
Yeah, I bet it was. Okay, I see him put the guitar up. Time to go in. Yeah, good. All clear. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, I didn't mean anything I said. Denny put me up to it. Denny put me up to it. All right.
Reverend Alden never does that.
No, I bet you. Yeah, but there is no other church in Walnut Grove, so where are they going to go? Would you please turn to James chapter 4 this evening? James chapter 4. I have been preaching the same sermon for about 3 weeks now. I prepared this sermon thinking it was going to be, you know, about a one, maybe a two service sermon. I had no idea we were going to go into this much depth, you know, whenever, especially in Ephesians chapter 4. I did not know that we were going to look at each one of those things so closely. But I look at a sermon and I think this might take about this long to get through, but I never try to stick to that. You know, I try to just let God take it and preach it how it needs to be preached. And so obviously we have needed to take this amount of time, or we wouldn't have taken this amount of time. Because as a pastor, you can notice, and I was talking to Amy about this today, as a pastor, you know when you're kind of dragging and when it's time to move on, and you kind of say to yourself, okay, move on now. We've been there long enough, and you know when you're moving too quickly. But you also know when everything's moving just right exactly on God's watch. And I think this sermon has done just that. We've been going at the right pace, and we've been looking at everything we need to look at. But finally, I will get to finish it up this evening. We have been looking at these things that will help us to let the inner man control the outer man, these practical steps. We've looked in, and I realize some of this each time I preach has been a little bit redundant, but I repeat some of this because sometimes we have visitors and also that's why I recap some of this stuff. But we've looked at, first of all, Romans chapter 6. It deals with the words no, reckon, and yield, our head, our heart, our hands, and how when we're saved, we need to know it in our head, believe it in our hearts, and make sure that it changes what we do with our hands. We looked in Ephesians chapter 4, 21 through 32, the principle of putting off and putting on. Put off the old man, put off those old things, and start doing the new things. And that right there is proof that when you get saved, though you can't sin on the inside, your flesh can still sin. If we were made sinlessly perfect, or what some people call a complete sanctification, if the saved person never did another thing wrong in his flesh, then why are we told to quit doing certain things and start doing other ones? Because your flesh wants to do those things. And so we looked at that, and then this morning we looked at grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. Now I have to tell you, of all the points that I have here, okay, we're looking at four separate things, and I have to tell you that the one that I thought we would be on for the least amount of time was grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. I had no idea that was going to take a whole sermon. But God just absolutely took control of that and taught us what we needed to know on that truth this morning. Not grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. We grieve Him by doing what we should not do, and we quench Him by not doing the things He tells us to do. And maybe that should have been the first thing that we looked at. But anyhow, tonight I want to look at three words, and those words in James chapter 4 are submit, draw, and humble. Submit, draw, and humble. And I did all that talking and didn't turn to James myself. So let me get there. Submit, draw, and humble. Find verse 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So maybe we should put a fourth word in there. We should put resist. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, but thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Okay? So we look at these words here. And we start off with this word submit in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You know, the life of a Christian is a life of submission. And I understand that that is a word that is hated in our society today. I mean, people just hate that word submission. Nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody wants to be told what to do. Every employee knows better than his boss, doesn't he? Everybody knows better than you. Nobody wants to do what the boss says. Nobody wants to do what the principal says. Nobody wants to do what the president of the company says. Nobody wants to do what mom and dad say or what grandma and grandpa say. Spouses don't want to submit to each other's authority. Nobody wants to submit to the pastor. And just people just have such a hard time with this word submission. Why? Because a life of complete and total submission means you are not in control and you are trusting somebody else. You are trusting somebody else, and people cannot stand to be told what to do. People just have a hard time with authority, don't they? You would think in the perfect setting of the garden in creation, you would think it's just you and Eve and God. You would think that when this serpent came along, there'd be no problem, would there? That you wouldn't even, man wouldn't even listen to the serpent. God only told them that there was one thing they couldn't have in that entire garden. One thing. There's no sin there. There's no pain. Adam had work to do, and it wasn't laborious work. It didn't tire him out. He didn't sweat until after the fall. He didn't get hurt until after the fall. It was joyous work. God would come down, the Bible said, in the cool of the day, and He would walk with them and commune with them. They had it made. They absolutely had it made. God said, everything here you can have. But that one tree there, you can't have it. And it's not but a matter of verses. And where is Eve? Hanging out by that tree. Hanging out by that tree. Let's just go take a look at it. Let's just go see what it looks like. Maybe it's not so bad after all. Let's just go look. Okay? God told them one thing they couldn't have, And they ran for it. They went to that tree, and she took of that fruit and ate it and then gave it to Adam. And that started the whole mess, didn't it? The whole problem. And we've been suffering the consequences ever since. Now we sweat and we get hurt and we get sick and we die and we have problems. And the first two children to ever live, one of them killed the other one. We're going to read about that next week. The first two children to live. How hard could it have possibly have been to get along with each other when there's only four people in the world? That's what sin does. That's what sin does. Okay? People don't want to submit. They don't want to do it as they're told. That was Cain's problem. I grew up thinking, here's the reasoning that I had growing up. I thought, well, Cain brought what he had. You know, he brought the fruit of the ground. That's what he had. I was young and didn't understand why God had a problem with that. Well, God had a problem with it because that wasn't the sacrifice that God required. And Cain knew what God required. And you say, yeah, but he didn't have any sheep. That was his brother's. You think he couldn't have got one from his brother? Think his brother wouldn't have sold him a sheep or given him a sheep or traded a sheep? God didn't require Cain to do something that he wasn't capable of doing. If God required a lamb for a sacrifice, then Cain was full able of getting his hands on a sheep and sacrificing it unto God. He just thought, I'll do it my way. This is good enough. I won't do it God's way. Cain did not want to submit. He did not want to submit to the authority of God when God said, this is the sacrifice that I am going to accept. And he wanted to do it his own way. But the life of a Christian is that of submission. It begins when we submit ourselves unto God. And then He instructs us to submit ourselves one to another. I've heard women complain about submission in the Bible as though women are the only ones told to submit. Women are told to submit unto their husbands, but do you realize the Bible also tells every Christian to submit one to another? The Bible says that the man's body does not belong to him, it belongs to his spouse and vice versa. There's just as much submission going on. But they like to single it out and make it sound like God set it up to where women are the only ones that have to submit. All of God's children are called to submit to God. We just read that. And all of God's children are called to submit one to another. Ephesians, I think that's chapter 5. Okay? Why do people have such a problem with submission? Because it means I'm going to have to give up something. I'm going to have to give up some control. I'm going to have to give up some power. And here's the thing. It all comes down to the one sin that started it all and caused it all, and that's pride. That's pride. If you have a problem submitting, you can chalk it up to pride every single time. Because you think you know better, or you just want to be in control, or whatever it is, it'll all come back to pride. It'll always come back to pride. Pride is the chief sin of the devil. It's the sin that caused Lucifer to fall. It's the sin that caused man to fall. Okay? Lust the flesh, lust the eyes, and the pride of life. You can chalk it up to pride every single time. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. But what does complete and full submission look like? Well, it's not... Well, Bible says I got to do it. God says I got to love people, better love people. Says I better go to church, better go to church. You know, I heard somebody say, actually I've heard a lot of people say this. They'll be talking about something. And they'll get mad and they'll say, boy, yeah, if I wasn't a Christian. You ever heard people say that? You ever heard people say, well, if I wasn't a Christian, boy, how about this one? I used to hear this one. Boy, he's lucky I'm saved. Boy, he's just lucky I'm a Christian. I don't know, maybe you've never heard that. I've heard that. You're looking at me like that's foreign. No, I know a man, I can take you to his house right now, who tells stories about people that have made him mad, and he follows them up with, yeah, if I wasn't Christian, if I wasn't saved, but if I wasn't a Christian, he's just lucky I'm a Christian, or I'd have laid him out. Are you sure you're a Christian? Listen to how you're talking. Are you sure? Well, God says I gotta love them. Church, that's not what submission sounds like. That's not what submission to God sounds like. Well, I gotta listen to my husband because he's my husband. Well, I gotta listen to my dad because he's my dad. Well, I gotta listen because she's my mom. And I gotta listen to this person over here because they're this. And yeah, the Bible says I gotta do this. Biblical submission is willing submission. Honest, godly submission is not a forced submission, it's a willing submission. Because here's what the Christian says: I don't get it. I don't understand it. It is the last thing in the world my flesh wants to do. And it is hard for me to do it. But I will do it because my God is so great and so good. And because He loved me first, yes, I will submit to Him. It's going to be, sometimes it is hard. You know why? The flesh doesn't want to do it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's a trying thing. Why? Because that inner man knows it's the thing to do and the outer man does not want to do it. And so we struggle with this or we have a hard time with this. But if your submission comes down to, well, I got to do it, like that disgruntled employee, I don't want to do this, but I have to because they told me to do it. Hey, how about my flesh really hates this, but I love my God. I love my God, and I'll go where He says to go, and I'll do what He says to do. And I'll say what He wants me to say, even if it's hard for me, even if I don't understand it, even if I can't figure it out. He loves me. He died for me. He saved me. He has my best interest at heart. He gave Himself for me. He has blessed me beyond measure. Yeah, I'll do what He says. I'll submit to Him. I'll do whatever He wants. Look, you know just as sure as you're sitting here that there are people you've had in your life that you have bent over backwards trying to please. You know that. If you're married, it was your spouse before you got married. And I pray that it continued to be your spouse after you got married. But when we meet somebody that we're interested in and everything, boy, they can't do anything wrong, and we'd eat dirt pudding if they told us to eat dirt. And I don't mean the kind Ashton made last week that has real food in it. I'm talking about they could give you a bowl of dirt. Eat this. I love you. And some people say, if you knew how my wife cooked when we first got married, it was kind of like that. But I ate it because I loved her so much. Now think about that. You've had people that you love and you've just been over backwards. I'd do anything. Boy, I tell you what, if they ask and they want me to do that, I'll do that for them because I love them. You submit to God that way? Do you submit to your Heavenly Father? Is your attitude about your Heavenly Father, He created me, and then He saved me, and He keeps me saved, and He blesses me, and He forgives me, and He's so good to me. Even though there are times when it's hard for me to do or times that I don't understand it, I'll absolutely submit to Him and do whatever He wants me to do. You see, that is a biblical submission. But, well, God says I have to. That's not a biblical submission. That is not a biblical submission. So where does your submission stand? You know, it's something who people will submit to, if you think about it. You stop and think about who people are willing to submit to. There are people who would not dream of submitting to their spouse, to any authority in the local church. Wouldn't think about submitting holy. They may even be Christians, and they wouldn't think about holy submitting to God. No, I'm my own person. I'm my own person. Well, you know, that pastor, he got these rules for the church and everything now. Or maybe it's at home. No, she's not going to tell me what to do. He's not going to tell me what to do. But they'll go to work every week and do exactly what their boss says for a paycheck. Come on now. How many people have a hard time with this submission thing? I would never submit. Maybe a woman says, I would never submit to a man because she's convinced the Bible only tells her to submit. I would never submit to a man. And she works for a man and does everything he says to do because he signs a paycheck. Come on now, that's real life. That's where we live. That's what happens. Somebody said one time, I heard him say that they weren't going to have the word when it came to their vows, their wedding vows. They were not going to have the word obey in their vows. And this person said, I am not going to have the word obey. I'm not a dog. You also don't know the Bible. You don't know the Bible if you think that's what love, honor, and obey. Those words don't come from Scripture, but they're based on Scripture. When we submit willingly to our spouses to love that person and honor that person and to obey and to submit, you don't know Scripture. You don't know the character of God. You don't know the character of marriage if you think it's like a master and his dog. And we all get and we understand that there are people that treat their spouses that way. We understand that there are people who have treated their wives in such a manner and they've treated them like animals and you have to do whatever I say. Hey, just because they didn't do it right doesn't mean that Scripture is wrong. Just because you had a lousy spouse or you had a lousy dad or you had a lousy whatever doesn't change the truth of Scripture. Just because you knew somebody that took a verse and twisted it for their own benefit doesn't mean that Scripture is wrong. Because if it's obeyed correctly, submission to God, submission to spouses, submission to parents, submission to authority is a beautiful thing that works. You see, everybody can't be in charge. We're living in a society now where people think nobody's in charge or everybody's in charge. And I like that old saying, too many chiefs. Not enough Indians. The political correctness police will be on me this week. They monitor our website. They'll be all over me. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody wants to submit. Hey, I don't care if it's a family, if it's a church, if it's a business, if it's a school, if it's a government. It only works when there's a chain of command. When somebody's in charge and then there's somebody under them, that's the only way it works. Without that, there's chaos. God created that. He's a God of order, and He created that in the home first and then in the local church and in government. It's the only way that anything works. But we live in a society now that says you don't have to do anything anybody tells you to do. You don't have to listen to anybody. And we can look all around us and see the effects. Boy, we're reaping what we've sown, aren't we? We're reaping what we've sown. Maybe during the 60s. But other than that, have you known a time I hope you pray for law enforcement. I know we do as a church. I hope you do individually. I hope you respect them. I hope when you're out, if I'm out sometimes and I'll see an officer or something, I'll approach him and tell him, I'll say, hey, I want to thank you for what you do, and I want you to know that Faith Baptist Church prays for you and the other people that are doing, and my family respects what you do. Boy, I'd hate to be one of them now. I'd hate to be one of them now. You got to wonder now, every time you pull somebody over, what's this going to be like? What's going to happen now? Authority doesn't matter, but it does to God. It sure does to God. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We start there. Lord, whatever you say. Whatever you say. After we have submitted ourselves to God, what do we need to do? The Bible says, resist the devil. In the same verse, resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is one verse here, and here's what it's saying. Okay, here's what it's saying. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. I will do whatever you say. Satan's over here. I'm not listening to a word out of your mouth. That's what that verse tells us. I will do whatever you tell me to do. And I'm not giving you the time of day. Don't even open your lips. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why is it that as Christians sometimes, some days, remember this morning I said, none of us would say, oh, Pastor, I've never told the Holy Spirit to shut up. I've never told the Holy Spirit I didn't want to do what he said, but we do in our actions. Whenever he tells us don't do that and we do it, and when he says do this and we don't, in our actions we're telling him, you're not going to tell me what to do? Okay, in our disobedience? How many times do we basically in our actions say, I'll do most of what you say. What do you have to say about this? Come on. I'll do just about everything you tell me to do, but you know, he kind of makes a good point. See, when do I do that? When we think we can. That commandment from God applies to everybody, but in my situation, it's something different. It's something different. Maybe this time it's maybe that's not really what God's talking about. No, this verse is, whatever you say, don't you even open your mouth. I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to a word you have to say. Resist the devil. You know why? You know why? I mean, the attacks are going to come. Okay, I hope you didn't think when you got saved the battle was over. You just enlisted when you got saved. You didn't know what the battle was until you got saved. Boy, the fight's on now. The war is on now. And just try to get closer to God in fellowship. This shouldn't be discouraging. But if you think that getting closer to God in fellowship is going to make all those attacks go away, I'm telling you, the closer you try to get to God in fellowship, the madder that old devil gets. And the more he amps up his attacks. You say, Pastor, that's awful bleak. That's awful grim. Well, there's another side to it. The closer I am in fellowship, the stronger I am, and the easier it is for me to resist those temptations. Yeah, they might be there, but the closer I am in fellowship to God, the more strength and power I have to tell Him no. The more strength and ability that I have and wisdom that I have to say, nah, you can run your mouth all you want. I'm not going that road again. So yes, it seems like the closer we get to God, the more the devil hates it and the madder he gets. Hey, I think it's a pretty good gauge of your effectiveness for Christ if you're making the devil mad. I'd like to be on his hit list. I'd like to be at the very top. I'd like to be somebody that he absolutely can't stand and wants to take out of the fight. Because if not, if the devil's not worried about me, that means I'm doing something wrong. I should be, you and I should be, Faith Baptist Church should be bad for the devil's business. We ought to be on his most wanted list. We ought to be in the top five of his hit list. I'd love to be number one. Come on, read the scripture. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at all of the apostles. Preaching the gospel, doing everything for God and living for Him and telling people how to be saved. And all but one of them were martyred. All but one of them were martyred. Had their heads cut off, crucified upside down. The world hated them. Why? Because the world's of the devil, and the devil hated them. They were bad for his business. I want to be bad for the devil's business. I want to submit to God and do everything God says and resist the devil and not even listen to anything that comes out of his mouth. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Maybe, it seems like every sermon there's that one thing that we don't like, that one thing that we wish could just go unsaid. And it's usually the one thing we need more than anything else. Maybe. You ever had those days or weeks where you say, boy, I just feel like the devil's been after me all week. Now, it could be because you're in the fight and you're living for God, okay? But you have to examine the situation because sometimes, he's still hanging around because you haven't resisted him yet. Sometimes he keeps coming back over and over and over again because you're in the fight and, buddy, you're resisting temptation and you're keeping short accounts with God and you're witnessing and you're living for God and you're in that book, you're in the Bible and you're in prayer and the battle is raging. Yeah, that's how it is sometimes. And then sometimes the devil's still riding around on top of your head and clinging to your back because you haven't resisted him. Remember in Ephesians, it tells us not to give place to the devil? Sometimes he's still nagging at us because we opened up the door. We opened up the door. We gave him a chance. We gave him an opportunity. You know, you get these telemarketers. Can we not pass a law to put them all in prison and just make them call each other? Oh, I get so tired of sitting down to supper. I've shared with you how I deal with them. It used to be an air horn. I used to deal with them with an air horn, and now I have a lot of fun with them. I just talk to them. I learned from a comedian I was listening to talk to them and just talk gibberish. I try to carry on conversations with them about things that are completely unrelated. Some of them laugh and think it's funny. Some of them just hang up. The foreign ones are the best. They're hilarious when they can't, they don't get what I'm saying, you know, and I'm being sarcastic and everything. I'm not being mean. I'm just trying. You called my house. You called my house when I'm trying to eat. You want to talk? Let's talk. But let's talk about what I want to talk about because I don't want to give money to whatever it is you're wanting money for. You ever been talking to one of them or you answer the phone and one of them, they say hello and they never get your name right, you know. And they're usually calling for Amy. The phone's in my name, they call for Amy. Hello, may I speak to Amiti Utli? That's who Amy is in Pakistan. Amiti Utli. I speak to Amiti Utli and I say, this is her husband, what do you need? Well, and then they're off. You give them 1 second. If you don't say not interested and hang up, then you're going to spend the next 5 minutes, hey, what? No, listen, hey, what? Because you gave them 1 second to get started on their script and they take off. You know the devil's like that? If we don't resist him from the onset, if we don't say no as soon as the temptation starts, buddy, he's going to take off, isn't he? I mean, right now he's going to take off. That old saying, give him an inch, he'll take a mile. I'm convinced that whoever came up with that was talking about the devil. It applies to Satan more than it does anybody. Give him an inch and he'll take a mile. He absolutely will. We have to resist from the onset. And if you look back, and we don't want to look back and dwell on sin, but if you think back of times when you've gotten yourselves in trouble and you've sinned and you've done whatever, more often than not, you're going to remember and you're going to be able to see, I didn't say no there, I didn't say no there, I didn't say no there. I had all these opportunities. Remember David and Bathsheba? Perfect example. I'll close with this. He walked up on his roof. He had no business being on his roof. The armies went out to battle. He was the king. The king leads the army. He was not supposed to be in the city. He was not supposed to be at home. All the other kings took their armies out. He sent his out and stayed home. That was his first mistake. Before he went to bed, he should have said, "What am I doing here? I got to catch up with the men. I got to get back with the army." He didn't. "I'll go up on the roof." Wouldn't have been there had he been with the army. Looks down and sees this woman bathing. And instead of looking down and, "There's a lady bathing. I got to get downstairs. I got to get where I can't see this." No, he kept looking. And then after he looked, instead of, what am I doing? What am I doing? Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. It was, "Hey guys, who is that woman next door?" "That's Bathsheba, Uriah's wife." "Oh, what am I thinking? That's somebody's wife. What am I thinking?" No, go get her. Bring her. And it just snowballed and snowballed. We all know that story. And you can probably look back at times when you have fallen and you have sinned and you say, "There was the sign. I ignored it. I ignored it. I ignored it. I ignored it." Well, that's over with. We can't do anything about that now. Hopefully we've confessed that to God, repented of it, asked Him to forgive us, asked Him to help us do better next time. But you know what we can do? Tonight when the temptation pops up, or tomorrow morning, or tomorrow afternoon, or whenever it's going to be, we can remember this verse 7, James 4, 7. And we can try a little bit harder next time to submit to God, do exactly what He says wholeheartedly, willingly, and resist the devil so that he'll flee, and don't even give him a chance to get his foot in the door. Don't even pick up the phone. Don't even pick up the phone. That brings another thing to mind. You know what these telemarketers are doing now? They're disguising their phone numbers to look like local numbers. They're of the devil, I'm telling you. Tricky. I just thought of that. The devil will do the same thing. The devil will do the same thing. Hide the truth of the situation. Make it look like it's something else. Make it look like it's something pleasing. Make it look like it's something you want. Make it look like it's something that's desirable. You know, you all know that I like to fish. And in a lot of the baits that we use, there'll be a skirt or a rubber, like a rubber worm or something, and the hook's hidden. The hook is hidden. Now, the main reason you hide a hook is so it doesn't get caught on weeds. You don't hide hooks so that the fish won't know. They're not that smart. If you look at the baits that they bite on, they're not that bright, okay? They'll eat anything that looks like food. As a matter of fact, if you put spinners and things that flash, it attracts them. They're like people. They see flashy things and they go after it, okay? But you take that hook and you hide it so that the weeds can't catch it. And even though the fish doesn't know any different, he can't see the hook. But when he's got his mouth on it, he sure feels it, doesn't he? Boom, there it is. And the devil disguises things. Look, we're going to have to learn how to recognize his disguises. We're going to have to learn how to recognize that's not of God. And the only way you can do that is to know as much about your Father as you can. And then you'll recognize when things are not of your Father. And then you'll be able, after you submit yourself to God, to more easily resist the devil. Remember, it's, "I'll do whatever you say to do, and I want to do whatever you say to do. Even if it scares me and I don't understand it and my flesh doesn't want to do it, I want to do whatever you say to do. You shut your mouth. I'm not listening to a word you have to say." Wholehearted submission and at the same time wholehearted resistance of the temptations of the devil. Let's do as we did this morning. Let's just have it. Not going to have a closing invitation. Let's have a closing prayer. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed after that. I hope that